6:30, so we'll get started here. Good evening, everybody. I want to welcome you to our city council meeting for February 23rd. The time is now 5:30, and I'll open the meeting at this time. Just want to welcome all of our staff, our guests, council. Thank you so much for all being here. We'll open the meeting at 5:30 on the nose. First item on the agenda is our invocation. I'd like to see if Councilwoman Gilman, if you wouldn't mind leading us tonight in our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we gather here today with grateful hearts, thankful for the opportunity to come together in service of our community. Grant us wisdom to make decisions that are fair, just, and beneficial for all. Fill our hearts with respect for one another, patience in our discussions, and unity in our purpose. May our words be guided by truth, our actions by compassion, and our vision by hope for a better future. Bless everyone present here, and may this meeting be fruitful and uplifting to all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now at this time, if you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Moving into our public comment section, the City Council invites citizens to address the council on any matter, including items that are on the agenda, except for public hearings that are included on the agenda. Those comments will be heard when the specific hearing starts. We ask that you please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R87-11. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, we ask that you please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state that item before beginning your comments. Thank you so much for your understanding and cooperation. You have a timer up here on the screen behind us to let you know how much time you have left. So, podium's open for anybody who would like to address council. All right. There being none, we'll close the public comment time. Item number 4 is discussion and consider action on acceptance of the fiscal year 2024-2025 annual financial audit provided by Brooks, Watson, and Company. Can I get a motion to discuss,
please? I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, your comments, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is Mr. Lewis Breedlove. He presented to us last year, and he's decided to come back for some more auditing.
It never stops.
I'll let him give you the good news.
Good evening, Council. My name is Lewis Breedlove, Brooks, Senior Auditor at Brooks Watson, and I had the pleasure of conducting the annual audit for the City of Woodway. Happy to report a clean report. In front of you, there is a bound copy of the report, and inside that front cover, there's a couple of items. There's a printout of the presentation that I have for you, as well as two letters that go with that audit report. I will utilize the presentation to go over the results of the audit. All right. First, do you like to just give a quick overview of the audit process, just to highlight some of what's occurring throughout the audit? So, one, I do want to state that the audit is conducted in compliance with all ethics or all government. I apologize. Is in compliance with all of the generally accepted auditing standards. And when we do the audit, we're breaking it down into various phases. So, the first phase being the assessment phase. So that includes. One aspect of it includes the walkthroughs that we perform throughout the city. So we have a number of questionnaires that are completed by your finance team and others throughout the city. Pretty much anywhere money is coming in or going out, we're looking to see what kind of controls are in place. So we obtain policies and procedures that exist within the city, as well as get those questionnaires completed. Last year we did detailed walkthrough. This year we did a review over any potential changes, any personnel changes. We dig into those because that may trigger some differences in how things are conducted from year to year. And then we also sample test each of those areas to make sure that what we see in practice is consistent with what we would expect to see based on those questionnaires and policies and procedures that we reviewed. From that, if we see any room for improvement, any areas of concern, we would point those out to management at that time. Thankfully, none were noted, so it was a overall clean process on the assessment phase. But that also does include a risk-based approach evaluation. So within your financial statements, every financial statement line item within your report had a different risk associated with it. So those can vary and change year to year, so we evaluate those annually. And so each line item has a different risk that we will then determine, and then it drives the type of procedures that we perform throughout the audit, what level of detail we perform those procedures to make sure that we're comfortable with the material accuracy and the completeness of the audit at the end of the audit procedures. Then there's a compliance testing. So there's going to be things such as your Public Fund Investment Act, bid requirements. If there's a grant, we review the compliance aspects of those and review the make sure the city's in line with that. Also, we review all of the council meeting minutes. And so if you all may have approved something that has a compliance component to it, we would review that as well to ensure that the city's in alignment with what they should be doing in that area as well. Then we move into the actual fieldwork phase. So there's aspects typically that are considered during the audit. This is what people usually think of when they're thinking of an audit. And so we're tying out those numbers in detail testing activity. So we're confirming with third party wherever possible, such as your banks. We're gaining, performing cutoff procedures at year end to ensure that any activity that may have occurred after year end or even before year end that should not be within the year is properly allocated to the correct year and accrued back to the correct year. And then we're testing your revenues and expenses to ensure that those are materially accurate as well. Once all testing procedures are completed, it goes through multiple layers of review to ensure that no additional testing procedures are necessary, as well as that all reporting requirements and compliance on the reporting side has been met and no additional changes are necessary. So for you, as a result of that, we have the audit report. And the audit report from just complete from front to back consists of first the auditor's opinion, and that's our opinion over the financials, followed by the MD&A or the management's discussion and analysis. And so that's going to give you a lot of activity summarized on your financials related to your budget. That's going to go over a lot of high areas such as your debt, any capital activity. Those areas are hit on pretty heavily in that section, as well as a lot of year-to-year comparisons. So it's going to give you a little bit more dialogue about some of the changes that occurred and what caused some of the increases or decreases year over year. Behind that is your financial statements. So it's going to include both your government-wide full accrual statements as well as your fund level statements over your governmental funds, followed by your notes to your financial statements. And so that's going to be that section in the middle of the report that's going to have a lot of language in there that explains how those numbers are arrived at, how they're accounted for, and oftentimes there'll be a chart that breaks down what those numbers in the financial statements consists of. And then behind that, your required supplementary information. So that's going to include things such as your budget to actual for your general fund, and then other supplementary information such as your TMRS breakdown for pension and OPEB. As it relates to that first item, the auditor's opinion, there are four possible opinion types that we as auditors are able to issue. I did spoil it already. You did receive a clean opinion. And so often referred to as an unmodified opinion, that's the highest level of assurance that we as auditors are able to provide. That's what we hope to be able to issue. And so thankful to be able to report a clean, unmodified opinion. Next, just to hit on a few of the highlights for the financials. So on the governmental side, this is a breakdown of your major components within the financials, comparing year over year. So you have your general fund fund balance. Really not a big change here. We saw a small increase of $2,500. Capital street improvement for future capital street improvement, that is considered a major fund. Overall, we saw an increase there of $994,000. Primarily due to those funds coming in and not yet being expended. And then the other non-major funds is going to be a consolidation of all the other funds that the city has in the governmental sector. These are funds that do not meet the requirement to be presented as a major fund. There is a breakdown of every single one of these funds in the back of the report if you wanted to look at those. But they primarily consist of the special revenue funds. A couple capital project funds as well. And the changes within those funds are in line with expectations, though they're being utilized for those special revenue purposes. And so there was nothing noted of concern there. Next, as it relates to your general funds budget results and fund balance, this gives you a breakdown, a summarized breakdown of the general fund. So first, just looking at the fund balance for the general fund, the health of the fund balance, we always want to ensure that there's enough left over in what some people will refer to as a reserve in the unrestricted portion of the general fund's fund balance. And we want to compare that to what was spent during the current year under audit to see how it compares and what we hope to see, and the city has a goal of achieving a balance that makes up 25% of operating expenses. So for 2024, it was at 32%. It's pretty consistent with that 2025 at 31%. So exceeding that 25% goal, 30% is a great spot to be. It's where we typically recommend the 25 to 30% range is an ideal spot to be. So just in case you need it in case of emergency, you're able to operate theoretically into about 30% into the year without receiving any additional funding, assuming expenses were consistent throughout the year and similar to this past year. And then a summarized look at your budget results. So the first line being your revenues, you did have $304,000 more than budgeted for. That's primarily due to property tax, sales tax coming in over expectations due to this conservative budgeting. Then your expenditures came in over budget by $210,000. That's primarily due to a couple things. There were higher energy costs, electric costs, and wages were up due to a couple of vacation payouts that occurred that were unbudgeted for, in addition to a few other things, but those were the primary things that drove that. But overall, most categories were within expectations of what the budget had. So really not, when looking at budgeting for $12.5 million for the year, $210,000 off isn't too bad. So not super concerning, but always something to look at as you get closer to the end of the year, whether or not you all want to have a budget amendment before the end of the year. And then other sources and uses. So this is going to be primarily things such as your transfers in, transfers out. There were some sale of assets that occurred during the year as well. So those kind of odd items that are not considered your primary revenues or categories are categorized here. And so you had $251,000 more than budgeted in that category. So overall, net change, comparing your actual numbers to your budget numbers, you had a positive budget variance of $345,000. So not a bad year. You did budget to draw down on your fund balance by $343,000 for the year, and just about broke even, just a slight increase of $2,000. So overall, budget looked good, and no concerns. Next, your proprietary funds. So these are going to be your business type funds. And so because they are business type funds, we do look at them and evaluate them differently. We want to make sure that they operate more like a business. And so we first look to see, are they self-sustaining? And so that first line there, that net operating income or loss, the Water Sewer Fund did have an operating income of $662,000. I don't have it for comparison here, but I do know that last year there was a loss there. I know you had some unforeseen circumstances that resulted in some extra expenses last year that drove that down to a loss. But so it seems like you guys have rebounded. It's in a very healthy position this year. And so that's what we like to see. And then your net position, just giving you a quick breakdown of the net position rather than fund balance in this category type of fund. It's overall has $21.9 million in net position. That is primarily due to the assets that are related to that fund. So those are, because this is a full accrual fund, it shows including all the capital assets and any related debt. So that makes up the bulk of it at $18.6 million. And then your unrestricted portion at $3.2 million. I do know that within that 3.2, there are a couple of items that are flagged and earmarked already, but on the reporting side, it doesn't allow for you to carve that out like you can on the governmental funds. But most of that is a little bit less than $3 million of that is truly unrestricted, and the rest is earmarked. On the sanitation side, That we expect to see pretty consistently break even with a small operating income, which so that's in line with what we'd expected from last year. The net position on that is a deficit, $295,000. We were discussing that previously. Every year there's an amount that's always transferred to the general fund for the administrative costs. There were some changes this year that in the transfer amount that was budgeted for went ahead and got transferred, resulting in a deficit. But it's already budgeted for this next year not to have that transfer, and it'll right side that, and so there won't be a deficit fund balance next year.
Can I ask something on that?
Yes, sir.
I should have asked this earlier today. Sanitation net position shows a $295,304 loss, and then unrestricted underneath it shows it positive, the same number.
It's really a bad representation. It's just a mirror that should be a negative as well.
My thought is.
Both negative. That's a little confusing. Yeah, they're both negative. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Makes sense.
But from an operating standpoint, the fund looks good, and it should be back in correct shape on the net position side next year. And then next, the communication letters. So there are two letters that come with the report. The first letter being the communication with those charged with governance. This is a required letter, and it goes over various aspects of the audit. It talks about management's responsibility over the audit, our responsibility as the auditor over the audit. And there are a few key points that I always like to carve out from this letter. One, the audit was conducted in compliance with all ethics requirements as it relates to independence. Two, we didn't have any difficulty working with management. And then three, the few audit adjustments that were identified have been reviewed and are being corrected by management. And then in the back of that, there is an exhibit for the few audit adjustments that were identified. All of them were very common in nature, half of which are like we always expect to book because of their weird accounting requirements. And so, no concerns or errors that were caught that had to be corrected. So clean on that front. And then the other letter is the communication regarding internal controls. This is where we would communicate any concerns over control issues or anything of that nature. There were no control issues. There were a couple items included on there as more FYIs or recommendations. And so that is, I know recently in September, they changed the bid requirements for the state from a $50,000 amount that had to be bidded out to $100,000. So I believe that this has been communicated to you all. I don't think that there's been an official adoption of that in the policy. So Brenda's got that put together already, and so that may be coming to you all soon as a potential approval, just to get that policy in line with what the local government code states now. And then the other item on the letter is minor as well, and has actually been in process is sheeting some old checks that were in the system, and so that's being taken care of already as well. So items that were brought up, both of which we're told were already on it. So that's always good to see. So So with that, I'll open up to any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Breedlove. Council, any questions for the auditor?
I think everything looks good.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I know you said you enjoy doing Woodway because it's one of the cleaner ones to deal with, so it's always good.
I did say it.
Well, Brenda and your staff for that.
Yeah, we met the finance committee. We met earlier and went through this in detail, so they grilled me a little bit there. But
wasn't that big of a deal.
I told them, and want to make sure I communicate to you all that, it is a pleasure working with the city of Woodway. Brenda and the team, they are on top of it. Make sure I have everything I need. Any questions that our team asks for or has are answered quickly and efficiently. And it's a pleasure working with the city, and you guys have, y'all are in good hands on the finance side.
I think it goes without saying, I don't think any of us up here are surprised that we got a clean audit. You know, that's kind of our tradition here. And, we just don't expect anything less. So appreciate your work. We're just not surprised.
Yeah. I told Brenda I'll dig harder next year.
Any questions for Mr. Breedlove?
Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, my contact information is there, so if you think of anything, you have questions about it afterwards, feel free to reach out.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do for us.
So do we have to accept it now? Is that the part?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So we need to...
Yeah, I was just flipping through this nice...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's nice
that,
and thick.
...that we got, yeah.
Well, I would like to move to accept the audit as presented by Brooks and Watson.
I second that.
It's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. Item number five, discussion consider action on recommendation to amend the City of Woodway master fee schedule regarding Woodway Family Center facility usage and rentals. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager?
I don't have anything further, Mayor. Thank you.
Mr. Rogers?
Evening. Thank you, Mayor, Council, for allowing me to present this evening. My apologies if I seem a little... drained. I've had jury duty today, so I'm.
Oh, fun!
No. I've yet to recover.
Thank you for your civic duty.
Yes. Did you get called?
Double dose.
Did you get called?
I didn't get. Thankfully, it's all week trial, so but I had to be there all day today, and it was exciting.
Hurry up and wait. Boredom.
A lot. Yes, absolutely. All right. So, come for you today, requesting your guidance on proposed changes to the master fee schedule. These are going to include. Consolidating the senior membership, senior programming membership, our pickleball membership, and the new adult programming membership into one single membership fee, as well as establishing a fee range for large facility tournament rentals. These changes will address several issues, including the addition of new adult programming that's coming, increased requests for large facility and tournament rentals, and the need to adjust fees to better align with current program offerings and some operational demands. Consolidating the memberships also will simplify how we advertise this, making it easier for the users as well as for staff when we go to manage these memberships. So here's our current master fee schedule. Only items I'm going to recommend any changes to will be items D, E, F, and G. And again, these are going to be suggestions merely to help get a conversation going with you guys to give me some direction. So I call it option one. I'm going to present two different slides. There are many other ways we can go, so it doesn't have to be one or the other. But on this slide, facility rentals item D, I'm proposing an hourly rate between 50 and 100 per hour with a three-hour minimum, and there would be tiered pricing. Also, security of $50 an hour and a custodian of $25. In your packet, you will see a policy from Midway ISD on their facility use agreement. And so I intend to create a policy that'll mirror that. But it does require some fee changes in there. They're, again, tiered based on usage. Some of those tiers we won't need as a city, but it'll follow that closely. The city currently partners with the Greater Waco Sports Commission, and it becomes necessary to create this policy and the associated fees because of the tournaments they have brought to us. You guys partner with them, and they bring tournaments in the area for tourism. They have been referring other agencies' tournaments to us for to see if our building is available. Really, we need to be in a better position to manage those requests. Thankfully, the Greater Waco Sports Commission and the tournament director that we have partnered with, they're used to this policy and actually probably even higher. It became necessary to bring this forward. This fee schedule would recoup the actual expenses that incur anytime we have these type activities. And these are going to be, the example is the Centex Challenge Volleyball Tournament. We were one of three sites that came to Waco. We had, gosh, I want to say almost 40 teams in our building. So we had a little under 2,000, right around 2,000 people over the course of a Saturday and Sunday coming in. And the policy that you have there will help manage that a lot better versus the agreement that we use is really set up for birthday parties. You know, custodians and security are also necessary for those large events with that size of a crowd. And then the tiering on whichever group that you fall under, you would have a different, I think there's five classes in the Midway pricing model. Excuse me, I'm getting choked up. Item E is the membership where we've consolidated the current two that are on the master fee schedule, the pickleball and the senior programming, just doing away with that verbiage and any activity you'd need to have a membership. We would still only be charging a daily, weekly, or monthly rate with a spouse add-on, depending on how you use the facility. So a lot of different scenarios. In this option, residents would pay one fee and non-residents would pay another fee. Item F would be, is the old G that moves up with the elimination of the pickleball membership, which would then have an individual day pass for open gym and a family day pass with rates for residents and non-residents.
So how would you track if someone wants to go weekly or monthly? What is the plan for tracking so that you know that they've got that plan?
Wonderful question. So we just received our membership cards last week. That took an act of Congress to get. I apologize that we didn't have them sooner. So each person, when they create their membership, would then purchase how they want to use the facility, daily, weekly, monthly. And so when they come into the facility, they would scan that card, and it would populate on our staff screen how they are using it. And it gives a very nice positive beep when things are good and a very negative whenever things are not good. So at that point, staff would then go in and look and see, is their membership up to date? Do they need to purchase another week, a month, or if they've been using daily passes?
Would it be tracking by the month from first to the, say, the 31st, or is it prorated, or would it be from the date if they start on the 15th, it's a monthly till the 15th of the next month?
For the monthly one, it would probably be 30 days, a 30-day cycle.
Activate.
Weekly, a 7-day cycle. The daily, you can purchase multiple daily passes and just use them as you go. I think that'll be a very popular option because we have some people that just come in to do art once a week, and that's the only class they do. So they would just pay that one-time daily rate. But if you're doing multiple activities a week, then, you know, if you're doing Tuesday, Wednesday, and Fridays, then you would definitely be benefiting from that weekly fee. So on this slide, the item D stays the same. Again,
we've got some water for you here, Jay.
You know?
Right here.
Oh, thank you. I sat quietly, trying not to raise my hand or get called on during jury duty, and now.
Yeah.
What'd you learn?
That I don't want to serve on a jury. Thank you. So I do recommend the facility rentals. If we are going to do these large competitions, this adds a few layers of protection for us and also keeps us in line. The rates that I did suggest are below the rates that Midway has offered. So just, we don't have the exact same facility that you do, so we're just slightly underneath that. On this item, item E, you'll notice there is no resident rate and just non-resident rates. That's similar to how it's set up in the fee schedule now. And the same thing on item F, no resident rate.
Sorry to interrupt. When they come to get their membership card, they have to show proof of residency, right? That's how we track?
Correct. That. We'll be able to ask them to show us the ID. We can use a water bill.
Water bill, okay.
As well. Those are the easiest two ways to do it. We did find out through Civic Rec, our new software company, that with the previous software the city was using, that there was a large population that was getting the resident rate when they, in fact, do not live in Woodway. I learned that there were 5 municipalities list that used the 1-2 zip code.
I'm sure.
And so it was a lot larger than I had previously believed. I hadn't dug into that until this new software. So we will have that ability to determine whether they are resident or non-resident.
And then everybody would need a card.
One more time?
Everybody would need a card.
Everybody would need a card.
To have access.
Even for Open Gym, just because the liability waivers create that membership, just makes
I like that.
A lot more safer.
Put a neat logo on it.
I like having
absolutely.
An access card like that.
If you would like, I can show it to you.
So that is what it would look like.
Or what it does look like. Yours would have your own individual number. So really the direction that I'm asking for is the fees. I propose several different paying for resident. I know that's been discussed. We don't currently charge for resident. I suggested that. Again, this is up to you. I know there's some opinions that vary on that topic. I'm keenly aware of legislation coming down the pipe that is going to limit revenues as well as expenses, and just trying to be proactive and looking out for the sustainability of the family center. So I did suggest those. If it is your pleasure to continue with no resident rate, I'm good with that too. I think just looking into the future, if I had a crystal ball, I would say that we were going to be looking for ways to improve revenue over the next few years. And this user fee would be one of those ways. We'll also be looking into partnerships, grants, sponsorship programs to offset a lot of our expenses. I think it's going to be key in the Parks and Rec world going forward. So
are you getting any comments from the residents, pro, con, this is coming?
Lots. Kind of lots. And they vary widely. You know, I get a lot of folks that say, don't charge us. Don't charge anybody, resident, non-resident.
Of course.
You know, yeah. That.
Yeah, everybody's free.
Yeah, right. So, but then we also get on the other side of it that every user should pay. I get that from people who come to the Family Center that are residents that do feel that everybody using the facility should pay. I hear that comment less often from people who don't use the Family Center, who don't use parks, who say my taxes are paying for somebody else to go have fun. So that's a part of the conversation. I hear that often. That means they have to come to the Family Center, so I don't hear it as often as other comments.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Well, just on the facility rentals, the security is a one-time fee of $50 in custodian, or is it hourly?
Hourly.
So
I apologize.
They're looking at, if you go with the lower rate, double the amount.
It's going to be
makes sense, though.
$125 an hour, which would put us in line with what Waco ISD, Midway ISD are charging for that type of facility, and that's on the low range.
Mm-hmm.
Now the school districts do have another non-paying category that would include band boosters, athletic booster clubs that are affiliated with the school district, that the education foundations. Those type of events, I don't think that we have one that's parallel to it, so I didn't include that. So I went to the next lowest, which is the class one. I believe Midway charges $70 an hour plus the security, plus the custodian. And they have in that, if you look in that packet, they also charge for a few other services if those services are needed during the events. So you could be paying on the low end several hundred dollars per hour.
Could you walk us through, just explain so we're all on the same page. If I'm a non-resident and I purchase a monthly membership in option 2 for $25, what does that get me access to? Does that get me access to the classes? Does it get me access to the pickleball courts? What does that get me?
Correct. So I what I proposed is a membership that it's either daily, weekly, or monthly, resident or non-resident. If you come in on a Tuesday and you pay your daily rate, you can do every class, every activity that's offered.
Regardless
that day.
Of age?
Don't have the age restrictions removed yet. So we will be offering 18 to 54 programming during the day at different times. That's coming. I've got to squeeze the budget out a little better and find some time to make those things happen. But It doesn't change the age range of 55 and up on the current program that you've been seeing. So that's staying the same for now. What you will, the next change on that you'll see is additional classes that are targeting 18 to 54 year olds. And it'll be of the same caliber, but there'll be different levels of activity.
Because I'm wondering if Mayor Pro Tem, if I purchase a membership and I'm in the 18 to 54 category, I'm not getting as much of a bang for my buck if I can't attend the same, you know, the same.
It will level out over time. Yes, correct. It's not the same. What I see in our users is that there's nobody that stays all day. There's maybe a couple of people that have done that on specific days because they didn't want to leave. They had something at 10 a.m. and wanted to stay till 3 for the next item.
If I want to take an art class, you know, if I'm interested in art and I have the membership, even if I purchase it, I'm limited into what?
Correct. Okay. And the only response to that, if I go back to the resident rate here, so I'm only going to come on Tuesdays, the only day I have available, and I want to do art that day. We'd be pretty hard-pressed to find an art class for $2 anywhere outside of the family center. So it's still well undervalued.
Correct. Well undervalued. But if I'm 18 to 54, I can't take an art class.
You will be. Not yet. Yes. That is in the works, trying to work on scheduling with the instructors.
Okay. That was just an example.
All of those things, yes. You will be able to do that.
Yeah, I love art.
So I have several different scenarios that I've got. I've got to get instructors on board for that. But the fee itself, what we're talking about tonight, is still well below what you would pay to go do that same or a similar type activity somewhere else. And you know, if I'm reading in the crystal ball in the future, these rates, as proposed, will need to probably increase over time as those legislation restrictions start to come down in the next couple of years. One point that I wanted to make that I missed on this one, option one.
Jamaican Story, ask a question.
Oh, yes,
no,
go ahead.
You're fine. Go ahead, because you may end up like.
I was going to say.
I had a question after you. So, okay. Yeah,
we'll
but it's in
him,
line.
We'll let him finish. And then
no. Option one, this slide, the expectation is that it would potentially bring in about $45,000 in revenue, which would cover the expenses that we are currently seeing in instructor fees and supplies. If we went with this, even as low as it's projected, it would cover that. It would be up to it. Now, there's some variables that I can't predict. Will some non-residents choose to not participate if we're charging them? Will some residents choose to not participate if we're charging them? That I just don't know how many would do that. But up to $45,000 in revenue just on that fee alone, as it's proposed, and that would cover the instructors and supply costs for the classes that do incur. Also, and I didn't mention this, so classes, you guys asked me to keep as many free classes as possible. Several years ago before we opened, you say, hey, program as many things that don't incur costs than the ones that do. So classes like, or not classes, bingo, mahjong, spades, canasta, karaoke, all of those things that don't incur a cost would be available to for free. We wouldn't charge anybody for that. So you could come into that class that day and not pay for that if all you do is bingo, because the sponsors pay for the prizes now. We're getting enough prizes donated. We're not contributing to that program. Mahjong. Once you have the sets, in fact, most people are bringing their own sets. There's some very fancy ones out there. So with that being said, those classes, you wouldn't pay for anything.
And so you would still seek sponsorship?
I think we're going to have to get big into that. Yeah. You know, we just came back from the Texas Recreation and Park Society convention. And, you know, you guys are keenly aware of the legislation that's been proposed and what's going to come back around. Election cycle, so I'm sure you've heard some political ads on what different people think about how property taxes work. Parks and Recs are going to be the first department that feels that crunch. So being proactive in that with user fees, more sponsorships, more grants, partnerships, finding ways to offset expenses, that's going to be a big focus for me for the next few years.
Okay. Okay. I have a couple of things. So first of all, is there a way to, and I know that this is not the topic of the day, but I was wondering if as we move forward, I hear you saying that there are seniors who would not come if it is intergenerational. But I was wondering if there could be some things that are intergenerational for anybody. You know what I mean? So there are some things that are absolutely still seniors and some things that are just 18 to 54. But could there be a few options where there is some commingling? I've heard that feedback from young people around my age who are like, I want to hang out with seniors too, you know? So I was just wondering if there's a way to...
So we do allow some of that. So any senior is allowed to bring their adult children to come play with them and do any of the activities.
Okay,
so we already doing that.
With.
Yes, correct. And the reason being is that especially... in the physical activity classes, those are popular, and those are ones that people want to come into, mm-hmm. and those would be the ones that would make it difficult. I think some of the exercise classes, I don't know if...
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I don't think that those yeah. should be mixed. Absolutely.
Like,
no, I'm talking about, yeah, some of the art class, some of the, you know...
So I'm not opposed to it, but there is a lot of research out there that does say mingling, you know, seniors mingling with like-minded folks, that there's a social aspect of it
yes.
that you have to protect. But then
yes.
there's also the opposite of that. You
yeah.
hear that both ways.
Yeah.
I don't have a solid answer for you. I'm not opposed to it.
That's
but
fine.
But I think that there are some opportunities or some real necessities to also keep that line as tight as possible.
I agree. I think that it is a great thing, and I want that to continue. I just, if we had a couple of little things. The other thought that I had in looking at the memberships under option one is that for a monthly pass, you get a savings on the non-resident, but you do not get a savings under if you're a resident. Does that make sense? For buying the monthly pass.
So, correct. And again, math, you know, I threw these out here for conversation.
Okay.
I'm not married to these numbers. These aren't the end-all, be-all numbers. I think I came up with just trying to discount a little bit from the non-resident rate. So, it's a suggestion.
No, okay. Well, I would just think that as we are introducing this, going from zero... I wonder if we could start with monthly at 10 for residents, just as to feel like there is an actual savings, more of an actual savings for being, and I would love consensus to know if anyone else shares that feeling, but I do agree that we will likely be forced to have some fees at some point, and so if we need to introduce them, I would rather stair step it if
okay.
possible. But I also, as I'm one person,
I've got a question that ties into what you're saying. You may know you love numbers like I do, and we've talked about numbers on different things. What first question is, do you know yet what the amount of percentage of residents versus non-residents that's using this facility today?
Still using the pen and paper method, it's about 55% resident, 45% non-resident.
Okay. Now, if we went with the no cost for resident, you said, what, 45,000 or so?
No, this one for no resident fee on option two is about 15,000.
15,000 that we would not be able to claim if we went zero. If we went to some type of a charge, we could bump up our revenue.
Option one, up to 45,000. Option two would be up to 15,000. As good as it would be about 15. Again, I can't.
Yeah, it's hard right now because you hadn't been able to put the.
Yeah, I don't know how many people are going to say, hey, I just can't.
I can't because of the money.
And to that, we're also going to be promoting silver sneakers and trying to participate in the silver sneakers program, and that will pay for those.
We'll get some revenue off of that.
Yeah, and that would also be resident as well. So that is a possibility. And there are other insurance companies that offer, I guess, I don't know if it works like as a rebate for programming like this, so they can get reimbursed for paying for these type memberships. I'm not in the insurance world, but I am aware of those. We've had several seniors that, hey, I can do that because I have that option on my insurance policy.
Councilman Russell.
Yes.
My thinking on this is until we have programming that is a little bit more widespread.
Yes.
I'm not inclined to charge residents to come to the.
That's my initial thought. Correct.
Because the residents, you know, they've already paid.
In taxes, yeah,
to have this building.
And I agree with that. I'm almost wondering, in a test program, you know, 1 year do without, next year see what we've got, or y'all see what you've got, and if you need to go
there. I'd be more open to charging residents once the programming for 18 to 54 year olds gets a little bit more built out, because right now they're pretty limited on what they can do.
I think of seniors first because I'm an old man. But one advantage on the senior standpoint is if you have Medicare and you have a Medigap program, most of them have some type of the silver sneakers thing. So it could come out to virtually zero. But like you said, in the under 65 non-Medicare, we got to be fair to them. Because like you said, why would they want to pay if they're not getting enough services for that? So, you know, this is all new, and it sounds like probably zero for the first year. See how it goes. And non-residents pay because they're not paying any property tax to pay for this.
No, yeah.
So I think we're on the same page. I just kind of wanted to see how the numbers come out. And it probably sounds like, too, we would know more about how the numbers would come out in a year.
Yes,
because everybody would have their card, and we'd say, oh, we're missing X amount of dollars.
Give you a lot better data.
Correct.
Once we have that running, so yes.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing correctly. Non-residents still no fee. Are we good with these numbers? You have any suggestions? What's that?
Residents.
I'm sorry. I said it backwards.
Yeah.
Resident, no fee. Non-residents, are we good with those numbers? We have any suggestions on what those rates?
I would think that probably for now, they're probably fine. Now, later you could hear, oh man, we're way too cheap or way whatever.
How are you going to, are you going to like advertise, hey, starting next month?
Yes, we'll start communicating that as soon as we have a, you know, firm direction, because I think this still has to come back before you for a resolution.
Let's have a quick discussion on this. What do you guys think?
Well, I'm even wondering, just because we're worried about possibly some of the non-residents not paying at all, I'm wondering if we don't look at maybe even going slightly lower to make sure we've got something coming in, as opposed to hard stop at $3 for daily. Maybe we
you're talking
like
about,
the resident thing. Which
you're talking
two,
about non-residents?
For the non-residents, but maybe do two, and then I forget what you had for the other one.
For non-residents, we're competing against whatever other clubs. You probably know those figures.
To answer that, or more on that point, so the YMCA has a couple of different levels for senior programming, starting at $45 and the others at $50, $52 or $54. We do not offer near the amenities that the Y does. We don't have any of the aquatics or anything. And they probably have six times the number of offerings.
Councilman, sorry, I didn't understand what you were.
I was wondering is,
will we lose
because the potential for losing whatever revenue we might get, should we start at a lower rate than this on the non-resident side? Like maybe use the resident numbers for the non-resident amount while charging residents zero.
I think
I'm just thinking if we go lower to start with, we probably lose
You're thinking the traffic will go down because of the
I think a certain number of people will just balk at paying anything, and we may be. But I mean, think if we offer lower to start with, maybe we lose fewer.
We're going to lose those anyway.
The way I see that, that's going to free up little bit more room in those classes. That's kind of what I'm thinking, Mr. Sherry.
I'm okay with a non-resident price. I'm like the mayor, the resident, for now, do zero.
So for option one, all of that was going to potentially bring in around $45,000.
For this, up to.
Up to, right. And so without that, do you feel like your ability to offer services will go down due to not having the full amount?
That really falls back on you on the budget for the next coming year. If we're operating on the same budget, no, I don't see any decrease in quality of service or the amount of service, and my goal is to increase both within that budget. So that's what I'm focused on.
This is just a revenue enhancement.
Yes, and I think that, again, it's going to be more than just user fees. You know, we'll be looking at other ways to generate revenue to offset the expense. But user fees are probably, you know, going to be the bulk going forward in the Parks and Rec world.
No, it needs to be.
We'll be forced to at some point.
Could you switch to option two real quick, please?
I'm good with that one.
The add a spouse is to whichever daily, weekly, surely not. Just monthly.
You would only.
Just monthly, right?
You would only do an add a spouse if you're doing a monthly.
Yeah. Yep.
If you and your spouse are doing weekly, you're going to jump to the monthly. It's a bigger, better way to do it.
Basically, for a couple coming in, for daily, it'd be $6. If they do a weekly, that'd be $14.
Correct.
But yeah.
And we do have some companies that only do art or they only do specific classes. So yes, $6, which is pretty reasonable. It's well below than what you
can't
would
go to a movie.
Jimmy, the only way that this works is if you make sure that we know who's a resident and who's not a resident.
You guys approve the software. That takes all the guesswork out of it, all the honor system out of it.
No more five municipalities getting free rides.
Correct.
There's so much in the mailing address that says Woodway.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It goes everywhere, you know, and they tell me all the time, oh, I live in Woodway. And you go, where's your water bill?
When do you anticipate this taking effect?
So it really could be almost immediately after you guys approve the resolution. So that would. I don't know how long it'd take us to get that on the next agenda, but it could be, I have everything else I need.
I do want to maybe give a little bit of buffer so that people
know about it.
I know that you were saying.
We would like that as well.
Sounds like you've been having conversations.
We've been doing that already, so yeah. Most people are aware that this is coming. So,
What do you think, like a 6-week period of getting cards to everybody? You know, because they need to come in and give you your credit card.
Correct. And that initial upload of all of those memberships is going to take some time because you have 40 people walk in to check into a class. It takes 5-6 minutes per person to do the account.
Drive everybody nuts.
So, I think this is going to help with that.
I think so too.
It's going to help.
It's going to be great.
Well, I'm just thinking in the beginning of getting all these memberships created, once you have that card, it's a beep.
We started talking about this, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that. So it's wonderful that you got it.
We have the tool now to be able to track residents without guessing and without, you know, we're no longer on the honor system. We also have the liability. I can't stress enough that the liability waivers being digital and being able to have those on hand if and when something does happen.
Instead of Club Med, we have Club Woodway.
So... We're looking like option two.
Not great.
It's close.
I think we had mentioned maybe option two, but using the resident rate from option one as the non-resident rate for option two.
I don't think we have consensus on that.
That's not my understanding.
Oh.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm pretty much happy with.
I think we're going to try this one for now.
Just to get it, and then see what happens later.
I do. I appreciate you sharing the rates of the why, because I think that
helps.
Makes a difference, yeah.
To know how much lower we are than. Yep.
And on this, just on that concern of going lower, these prices, I've looked at everything local, mm-hmm. and we're below. I have not tried to be competitive in terms of, hey, let's charge with all these. This, we're below what the Y is charging. It's not an easy comparison because there's not a lot of facilities that do what we're doing.
Well, the Y is starting to charge more for activities than they used to.
Yeah, those prices everywhere are going to be going up.
They're increasing, and individual offerings of exercise classes or whatever, where they're more specified exercise, they're charging for them, and they didn't used to.
You report to the council every 3 months or 6 months?
We do six, every six.
Oh, and is this is not really as one of your reports. You had one back, so you'll have another one probably in 4 months or something like that?
Yes.
Okay. In 4 months, you'll be able to tell them.
It'll be in July.
How it feels.
We can check in anytime.
Yeah, true. But I was just going, you can kind of see how it feels. And then, you know, if there needs to be adjustment, they can make an adjustment.
I do feel it is important that you're able to communicate over time that, yes, this is, we are so happy to offer this for now, the free for residents for now, but just kind of.
I'm absolutely happy with what you're saying because it helps staff in kind of slowly taking the Band-Aid off versus just yanking that thing. So I think it'll be a lot more palatable with the users that are coming in.
I feel like you're on top of it.
Just to be clear, I heard also you said something about 6 weeks, taking 6 weeks to ramp that up. That was, okay. And
I mean, I'm just throwing out an idea. It seemed like it.
I think just the logistics of it, that'd be pretty wise. Maybe it'll be before that, but
yeah. I mean, you don't want to overtax your staff. Of course, you know that. You don't want to overtax your customers.
We want it to be still seamless because if we create bottlenecks, they don't like us.
Oh, they're driving nuts. Yeah.
Well, you could even have a sign-up event almost where so that everybody.
That could be a bottleneck.
there, you can sign up online, but okay, I believe that a lot of our youth, you can't get your card.
Yeah.
Nor can you get your ID verified until you get there. But I don't see a lot of our senior users doing that option. And it is really, really easy, though. If you have a Google account, a Facebook account, an Apple account, you can one-click sign up and create your account. Just by importing all that information. So technology's there, but I imagine we'll be doing a lot of helping people through it. So.
Now, you're going to require ID to get this? Some say that's racist.
Don't answer that. Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, one last thing. I do want to underscore what the Mayor Pro Tem said earlier about the programming for adults. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, just like this, is important that we need to.
You're gonna be pleased with what we got coming. Okay. Not everything all at once. Wish we could just.
Yep.
Knock it out and do it all at once, but
I just wanted to underscore what she said because that's
important.
Don't kill your staff.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank Appreciate you. What you do.
Council, is there any more discussion on this item before we call for the vote?
There's
Don't I have to do a? Do we have to vote on a recommendation?
We're just posted for the discussion. I mean, you know what to bring back. Yes. And so we'll bring that back as a resolution to amend the fee schedule.
As an actual, which one we're voting on?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Because we don't have it on the agenda. We'll be voting on it.
Okay. So option two, you got it. Great.
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you, Council. Thank you, Jimmy. Moving on to item number six, this is discussion, consider action to approve a First Amendment to amended and restated exclusive franchise agreement between the City of Woodway and Frontier Access LLC, establishing new rates for the provision of waste collection, recycling, and disposal services to the City of Woodway, Texas, and authorizing the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. Motion to discuss.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you very much. Mr. Manager, number six, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. While we're on the topic of rates and increases, we do have Mark Chapin with Frontier. He's here to present to us tonight, but I'll just give you the short version of the background. as it's all in your packets, but the three main options. So option one is what you've seen before. The current rate is $20.96 a month. The remainder of the term of the contract beginning 3/1/26, the increase would be $31.82 a month. Option two would be to extend our agreement another 5 years and give Frontier a little bit of time to phase in some of these increases, bringing year one from $20.96 to $24.58, year two, $28.20, year three, $31.82. Years four through five, normal CPI is outlined in the current agreement. And option three is a 10-year extension, like option two. This would allow Frontier to phase in residential rate increases over a longer period. The commercial and roll-off rate adjustments would be implemented as outlined in the attachment, as well as the normal yearly CPI. That final option for three brings it from $20.96 in year one to $23.68, year two, $26.39, year three, $29.11, year four, $31.82, year five, no CPI increase to the residents, year six through 10, normal CPI as outlined in the original agreement.
So year five would essentially be the same as year four?
Yes, sir.
Okay. On the residential side.
Yeah.
Yep. We can broaden this and have the discussion, but that's the basic outline that we're bringing back based on what was communicated to us at the last meeting, saying we want X service and what the closure of this landfill, the additional miles, wear, tear, all their other expenses. We can get into some more of the details, but that's the basic premise that we're working.
Okay, welcome.
That's all yours. Yeah, as city manager pointed out, three different options. So the biggest thing that I want to express in options two and three, that phase-in gives us time to recoup our expense on the additional miles and the actual disposal costs that we will be incurring. You know, the 10-year agreement, I know it's a long-term agreement, but it is the best option for the residents. It gives that slow phase-in for cost structure, gives residents the ability to plan kind of that yearly increase. And it gives us enough time to recover those costs so we are able to provide that lower fee schedule over that 4-year phase-in period. You know, obviously with 2 years remaining, I have to take that increase up front so I can recover my costs in the additional collection time and the disposal expense that will occur. But I'm happy to answer any questions that the city may have in regards to these additional two options that are being presented to y'all tonight.
Okay, so on the 10-year contract extension, year one starts now till the 26, is that right? 3/1/26.
Yep. So the landfill closes on the 28th. That's the last day that they're going to be accepting trash. So that rate increase has to take effect in either option on the 1st of March. So the two differences in the 10-year agreement, it's a $2.72 increase per year for the residents. Businesses and roll-off customers, they'll go through that normal CPI process. And then on the 5-year extension, it's a $3.62 increase that the residents will see over the 3 years.
So it's basically an increase starting off on March of about a little under $3.
Correct.
For 1 year. And then it looks like it'll go up another $3
in year two.
Year two, another $3, $2, and then it will stay.
It's just like it's the slowest increase.
Yeah.
Least intrusive option.
Or the least.
Yeah.
It's $2.72 per year in the 10-year agreement up to year four. And then you get that break. Because I do understand, we recognize that is a lot of pricing over the course of 4 years. So, you know, under that option, we have that ability to kind of.
Oh, it's kind of like it's kind of like we were just talking in the last agenda item. You know, not making it so
hard.
Correct.
So yeah. Stark, but
now on this, any one of the plans, it doesn't have a gas upcharge if we end up with a high fuel price at some time, do we?
So it's going to be under the same language that's in the current agreement.
So we are open. Could have more if we have a $5 gas.
Diesel goes to $7 a gallon because of World War III or whatever.
Something like that, yeah. Make another adjustment.
Trash won't be our biggest.
Do we know what other cities and the counties are paying for trash service right now?
So that's a pretty wide answer, to be honest with you, because it depends on service. So Woodway is unique in
got a little better service than most, correct?
Yes. Right. Well, and it's the style of truck and the twice a week collection that drives that higher rate. Mm-hmm. So like you could look to like the city of Hillsborough, right? They're automated one time a week collection, regular size truck. Their rates, you know, obviously lower, but also that distance to the landfill is substantially lower as well. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't cost me as much to go out there and service it. Whereas other customers that we have that are twice a week, you are getting closer to that $30 range that you're paying on a monthly basis. And it also depends, too, on how much bulk items and additional trash that the customers are allowed to get. Woodway is essentially a take-all service, and that comes with a premium. But it also keeps the city clean, and it doesn't make the residents have to worry about what they have to do with their bulky material on collection day.
Mark, are there, with the 10-year contract extension, are there any, not hidden, but any other fees that we should know about that would?
No, and so the base contract will remain the same.
Yep.
It's just extending that term out for 10 years. Now, we can add some other items in there that will actually benefit the city as well. So we do have two other cities that are on the same plan, the city of West and the city of Selma. And in those agreements, there is a service failure clause that states that if we do not perform to the standards that are outlined in the contract, you know, it gives the city the right to, you know, notify us. There's a cure phase in there. It's about 30 days. And if we can't cure those issues, it gives the city the right to terminate that agreement. Now, in the amendment that I sent to Adam, that was not in there because that's based on just assuming that we're maintaining the same term. But if you guys do decide to go to that 10-year option, we can add in that piece. So that way it gives the city some extra protection in the unlikely event that we, you know, fail on our service to the city.
And I'll just jump in. That's in your underlying agreement.
Correct. But we do have a little bit of a stronger language for the other two cities that we have this, so we would like to implement that.
Right. But just so you know, we've had a 30-day notice and cure period.
Thanks. Good. Thank you. We'll just have a little discussion up here, and
okay.
If we have a question, we'll call you back. Perfect. Thank you. Council, whatever you think, I think we all share the same feeling about Frontier. We really enjoy their services, and they've been a great partner for 40 plus years.
Do we need to do a motion long to time. Discuss?
I opened it with that.
You don't have to do a motion to discuss at
no,
that
I,
point.
I opened it. I opened it with that. We had a motion
I didn't
to discuss.
Know if we had a motion.
No. But I wanted to just see if anybody thought any differently. If we go with option three, that's giving them a 10-year contract extension, which, you know, is fine. It's also the least invasive to them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I favor. I think that's the best option we've got, especially for the residents. The slower we can. I mean, at some point, we're going to get 31.82 anyhow.
Yep.
But
it won't hurt as much, though, if we do that stress.
Right,
yes. And in today's economy, I think it fits well. I don't know how many times I've had friends that live in Waco talk about how much better our trash collection is in Woodway.
Yeah, no, it's great.
I do feel that Frontier has earned our trust, and which makes me feel much more comfortable about a 10-year extension, and also knowing that we do have that clause as well, if something were to change. But I don't foresee it happening because it hasn't to this point. So
we never know what the inflation is going to be. I was just looking over the last 10 years, what the inflation rate total
is, and it's about 18%, I believe, for the 10 years. It looks like on this, we're probably pretty close to 20, but at the same, so my point of bringing this up is, you know, do you go with the short term and try to get a better deal?
I have one question.
Or do you go ahead and lock it in? And of course, you know, the way inflation goes, you could see 20% over the next 10 years. So
how many years did you say we've been doing?
I think 40.
40.
I think it's been 40.
Yeah, under different entities, but essentially it's been
10%. Of course, you're going to have, like you said, under different entities. Companies sell out, mm-hmm. things happen. Now, if y'all was to sell out, this would still be, the contract would correct. Still be in force.
Yep.
So that's what I want to make sure of.
Okay.
It's not assignable without your consent.
It what?
It's not assignable.
It's not assignable? So
no, if, not without your consent. So, in other words, it comes back to you. If
they sell out, we would have to deal with the next company and start over. It would basically clear the...
Well, you would just consider then kind of what your options are.
Okay.
So they can't take this contract and sell it to somebody else who's, who you don't know.
That's the key. Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Okay. So this is just because we're talking trash.
Yeah.
Just because we're talking on this topic. You'll remember last meeting, I wasn't successful in getting my weekly beloved recycling back on. I'm just gonna pitch this one more time. If we did a 10-year contract extension, forgive me, Mr. Manager. This is my last shot. So I'm gonna take it. Is there any room for that?
Absolutely. Yeah. If the city comes to us and says, hey, you know, we want to do weekly recycling, yes.
At this rate.
Well, it depends. So this is kind of my caveat. So the way the commodity prices are now, no. There would have to be a rate adjustment. Now, if commodity prices, and mainly on the cardboard side, and gets to at least $135 a ton, then it's a different story. Because then my processing fees come down, and it doesn't cost us to, you know, any additional to service the city with that option. So just to put it in perspective, OCC or cardboard is sitting at $45 a ton today. So we need kind of like a manufacturing boom to happen in order for those rates to come back in line with what we've seen over the last, call it 10 years in the industry. And then, you know, on the inflation side, so one thing cities and just the public in general has to understand is there's a lot of PFAS regulation that's coming down the pipelines that will impact landfills, and that will drive our cost up. So yes, you know, over the last 10 years, 18% inflation, totally agree. On the waste industry side, you're gonna see that actually rise a little bit higher, which is why a lot of cities and companies are kind of trending toward water, sewer, and trash, which is in our agreement currently, because that's more of a true line of what our costs are, you know, incurring every year. And that hovers around about 4-4.5%. But with pending like legislation that could, you know, take, you know, that 4% to 15% in 1 year based on landfill regulations.
In any long-term contract, both sides are betting on what the inflation is going to be. Correct. That's the only reason I brought it up.
Correct.
Would it be beneficial to adjust what we accept as recyclable items?
Yes and no. From a residential side, if you limit that that source, then you're not going to get that participation, and then you're going to have people paying for a service that's not going to use. I mean, ideally, across the industry, we would love to just get OCC and certain types of plastics, but in the reality of it, that's not, you know, a feasible thing. Short term, I did mention this to the city manager a couple months ago. We are willing to throw out a like a recycling roll-off container if the city has space for that.
I was going to ask that as well, and also to maybe have one for glass, since we do not currently take.
Yes, and glass, there's no market for glass, just being fully transparent.
Really?
Yes. At the moment, there's no market for it. Okay. But the containers that we have, they are source separated. Okay. So if a customer or resident has an abundance of glass, they can just take it to this roll-off container, open up the glass door, throw glass in, and be done with it.
Right. The area at the shop would be perfect to have some roll-off containers.
So this is someplace that anybody could dump their recycling?
Anybody could bring, if for the people who have mentioned that with having recycling every other week, it adds up, and maybe they're not using our city-provided bags or something,
or bigger
they
totes.
Would be able to take their recycling to this shared container. yes, but I would love to offer glass, although are you saying that that would cost us?
It's not worth it.
Well, if you limit it to the source separated, the cost isn't going to be crazy. But if you go community-wide, then that's where you're start seeing a higher processing fee. And I think I mentioned this in the last meeting. Our fees went up 20% at Sunbright. And there's potential for that to continue to go up based on how the market's currently performing.
Of course, those roll-off containers, depending on how often you have to have them unloaded or moved.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have the rental for the roll-off container itself.
But typically on those types of containers, we see them going once a month, two times a month. Because really, you're not going to get, the average resident.
Yeah,
you're going to get the avid recyclers, and they're going to be really diligent on what they're putting in that container.
And so when it fills up?
Yeah, you guys just let us know and we go.
Okay, so that helps to know. It would not be... I'm trying to think of how to ask this. So it wouldn't necessarily always be the same amount because you're not going to be always
correct
coming to get it. Okay.
Yeah, it just depends on how the community uses it.
Okay.
I have heard a question from a couple of residents about whether you would ever supply containers, trash containers.
That is an option.
Lyco does.
If there's a strong support for that.
We've talked about it in the past. One of the problems is then you're limited on some situations on just what you can put in those where, you can put five bags out, which is more than what one of those containers can use.
Right, and if the city decided to go to the cart option, we can always amend that section of the contract that says, hey, we'll do cart contents plus a few bags. With twice a week service, you typically don't see that issue of additional bags. But in the event that there is, we can have that in that section to allow us to collect that additional
coverage. But Mark, to the original question, if the OCC, is that what you call it?
Yep.
If the OCC, if that commodity rate comes up to the 100 and whatever.
Yeah, 135 a ton.
135.
Then
you would notify the manager, and we could add that back in.
Yes.
We have a trigger weekly recycling.
Yeah,
and trigger clause or something.
Correct. Yeah, and then we'd have to amend the contract as is, right? Because currently the way the amendment is, it's showing the service that it currently is the every other week. But yeah, that's something that I can work with the city manager on, and kind of look at those rates. But my best estimate is you're probably 2 to 3 years down the road.
Well, but still.
Right.
That's better than no forever.
Yep.
So I'm curious, so when's the last time that it was at 135?
About 2 years ago, maybe a little
bit. That recent? That. Okay.
Yeah. So really the best gauge is to see what Amazon is doing. So that's kind of like my wind test. As Amazon delivers more, you're going to typically see those rates go up. Now the flip side of that, there's been a lot of mills, and I'm sure I'm giving you guys way more information than you need, but there's been a lot of mills across the company that have closed down, which has created that supply gut.
Mr. Shaw, could you work on that clause?
We've got a draft of this amendment kind of going, but it's kind of subject to the outcome of this discussion. We'll still have to finalize.
Okay. That's very encouraging. I didn't know that. That's super encouraging. Great. Do we need to include that in our motion?
So, some language to the effect of subject to amendment or whatever. I mean, we'll have to finalize this, and obviously we've got a pretty quick time turnaround.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions? Brenda.
Mayor and Council, may I say one thing? Just to shed some light, I'm not pro any of them, whatever y'all choose is y'all's thing. But the rates that are shown, the 2096 is what Frontier charges us. That is not currently what we're charging the residents. We charge the residents 2490. So it looks like it's a 50% jump on the first rate, but it's really 27.7, which is what I showed y'all last time. But Frontier was all this, and I didn't include the rates that we include charge the residents. So in reality, that first one is not 50%. It does look scary like that. It's 27.7% increase of what we're currently charging the residents.
Oh, okay.
So. Okay, I want to make sure I understand it correctly. You're saying on option one, we're charging 2490 instead of 2090. Is that right?
Currently, we're charging 2490 because we have to include a buffer in the current agreement because we were paying the landfill directly. So that's why there was that little.
But now,
once this landfill closes and it's just a pass through, we don't have to include a buffer anymore.
So, if we went with option one, would it be 3182, or would it be a little bit over it? Would we need to charge anything additional?
If you went with option one, effective October 1st, it would be 3182. Okay. I've left enough buffer in there where we do not have to increase the rates.
So basically, if we went with option two or three. Or three, even,
three,
I mean,
is still the softest blow.
Yeah, well, the option three would actually see a little decrease, possibly.
Rates rarely go down, but yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to shed some light on that because those numbers do look slightly different than the last time we presented that.
This is why we get a clean audit every year. Brenda's on it.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to keep us moving. Any other discussion? All right, Council. I'd like to move that we approve a First Amendment to amended and restated exclusive franchise agreement between the City of Woodway and Frontier Access LLC, establishing new rates for the provision of waste collection, recycling, and disposal services to the City of Woodway, and authorizing the City Manager to execute any documents in connection therewith, making this a 10-year contract extension. Subject to contract review. The amendments discussed here.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you. I was wondering how long somebody was going to leave me out there. Moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, Council. Thanks, guys.
Mark, thanks for coming out.
Yes.
All right, we put a ring on it for another 10 years. Okay, see ya. Bye.
Bye.
Council, we're going to move into executive session at 6:52 p.m. Council, are we all back? Are we all back? Everybody here?
Yes.
Great.
So,
we are going to resume our open session at 7:30 p.m. Coming out of executive session. Council, items 8A through C are on your consent agenda. Are there any items that you'd like pulled for separate discussion and consideration? Okay, I hear none, so move on to item number 9. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as stated.
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as stated.
Thank you, Councilwoman.
I will second.
Thank you, Councilman. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Consent agenda has been approved. Thank you, Council. Item number 10 is the City Manager's Report. Mr. Manager, over to you for any updates for us.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'll be brief. Just one item, and that is that Frontier Waste Solutions will hold a large item pickup day this Thursday and Friday.
I thought we moved it.
Well, here.
Okay, sorry.
It's going to be this Thursday and Friday. This is in addition to the two scheduled pickups in April and October. This pickup was scheduled to improve customer satisfaction after the winter storm delays and to take advantage of the Hannah Hill landfill one last time before.
Oh.
Okay.
So
it's
a bonus. Freebie.
It's a
freebie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were
you post
that? Oh, we got to blast that everywhere.
Oh, you did already?
On social media.
And we notified the residents through the water bills. At least.
Okay. Tell me the dates again. This Thursday and Friday?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
In addition to the ones that are coming in April and October, I did not write those dates down.
Okay.
But
man, have I got some
big You've got some to stuff to get rid of?
Yeah. That's right, wonderful. That could not have come at a better time. Thank you, Frontier. You see? Great company. Is that all, Mr. Manager?
Yes, sir.
Okay, item 11 is City Council reports. Anybody, any liaison have any reports to update us on?
Well, tomorrow we have a P&Z meeting. Mm-hmm. We'll be discussing a final plat for NJ Davis and whatever's happening at 250 Sharon Drive. I'm not sure I understand that, but they're going to be discussing that tomorrow night.
City I've been getting a lot of questions about Sharon that, Drive. Too.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you know?
I wasn't prepared to speak on that, sir.
Okay.
So I don't have the details. That
I'm gonna find out now. You left it so mysterious.
I mean,
what's
public hearing on application to develop and site development plan in a plan district office addition.
Oh, Sharon Drive.
Okay.
Behind the orthodontist. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay. I didn't have a picture. In my
yes, mind yes. That. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that will be discussed tomorrow night in case you're interested.
Yeah. Thank you, Councilman. I don't know. I was thinking something completely different, like somebody is, I don't know, opening a vape shop in their house or something like that on Sharon Drive. No, that was the office building or office.
I think that's the one you asked about, the garage.
The garage. Yeah. The Edward Jones or whatever it's going to be. Okay. I feel better. Sorry.
Yes, so Bound for the Brave was held Saturday. Had probably about as good a weather as we could have expected. It was cool, no wind at least to start with, and then it started blowing our stuff around. But had 39 participants in both the 5K and the 10K. A little bit smaller than usual, but the Heart of Texas 100 Club is going to see about trying to promote that a little bit more so we can try to get bigger numbers, because I know it was much larger a few years back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everybody loved it, other than if there were a few that thought we were going to hand out medals, and that's not part of the deal. It hasn't been.
Yeah.
So we're going to maybe look at that as well. But
runners love those medals.
We had three members of the Youth Commission who helped, Kylie, Natalie, and your daughter, Abby. So it was, they did a great job, and it went really well, and I think kudos all around.
Thank you. It was Ava.
Oh, was it Ava?
Yeah.
See, I keep getting those two confused.
No, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
You're
going
to mix that
I said
up.
That very thing today.
Yeah.
I get those two girls confused.
Yep. I call them Alexa when I get real mad.
Oh.
I just Abby, Ava, Alexa. Oh. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Suri. Okay, anybody else?
Do we have election next Tuesday here?
We our election.
No. The primary will be here next Tuesday,
yes.
March 3rd. Everybody needs a sample ballot. And, we appreciate the city letting the county use the offices for the primary elections.
Great. Okay. Anybody else? Staff? Keisha? Brenda? Stephen? Anybody? Good. All right, I'll hear a motion to adjourn then, please.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
There we go. Move. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been seconded. We are adjourned at 7:36 p.m. Thank you, Council. Have a great night.
Hey, yeah. Interview.